Well, hello, and thanks for coming back to join me and Remy Germanario for the final five. Now, this is a bonus episode to the conversation that we had on Wednesday, where all season long, I'm asking five final questions to each and every guest, covering topics we didn't address on the previous interview. Now, today, Remy gives his own thoughts on bucket lists and lessons learned, as well as I'm throwing in a new question just for Remy on this final five. So let's get this started. All right, here we are at the final five questions.
Hey.
All right, and I'm actually introducing a new question.
On the spot?
On the spot.
Do I have to use our 401 UCB right. training to right. improvise this question?
But we'll start with number one.
Okay.
Number one, if you could have any other job outside of the arts or comedy, what would it be?
I would want to be a truck driver.
Really?
Yes. No, I would never do it, but like in like a world, I love road trips and I love seeing the country, and there's something really like weirdly romantic about the open road to me.
So would you like pick up random hitchhikers as part of that?
I don't know. There's something. Maybe. I mean, I'm saying that from a fantasy standpoint.
Right.
But, or maybe like a Travel Channel host.
Yeah, yeah.
I love travel. I have extreme wanderlust.
I've wanted to audition for those because I see them every now and then.
Yeah, I have
those
auditions.
I did once as well. And I actually got to like, you know, so you submit and then you get to like meet with them and talk to the producers. So I thought, maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
You should, again, you'd be great.
Right.
So something to do with travel. I love travel.
So number two, what is a bucket list show or a role that you want
to
do?
I would love to be Lewis in Angels in America.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they're making Amy and Company a boy now in this new production. So hopefully.
So you can be Amy or.
Jamie. Hopefully down the line, I'll audition for the replacement. At some point,
good.
I love that role, and so when I heard they were making a guy, I was like, so yeah, maybe one day that'd be cool.
All right, number three, who do you look up to as a mentor or someone who inspires you?
I think the person who I think without watching, not someone I know. I have a lot of great people I look up to. You know, my parents, of course. My best friend is Rachel Brosnahan from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Like, she's someone I look up to. She's such a great friend and mentor to me. But I think that without that watching this person on TV growing up, I don't think I'd have my comedic voice, and that is Lisa Kudrow. I do not get starstruck, but if I ever meet Lisa Kudrow, I will cry. I will absolutely cry because she made me laugh so much. And I think I get a lot of my inspiration from her, and I still look up to her.
I mean, she was definitely more of they each had their own thing, but Lisa Kudrow's character was so quirky and so unique and so individual.
Yes.
Her character, I think, was the one that seemed the most grounded. All the other ones played an archetype of that particular comedic character.
She was so real with the silly thing she was saying. She was very serious about it.
Yeah,
so yeah, Lisa Kudrow.
All right. This is the new question. Are you ready?
Yes, and.
Perfect. Thank you. So what is a time in your life where you messed up and had to own up to it?
I have a good one, I suppose, and I won't go into too much detail. But I was in my college relationship. Look, we were very important to each other. We're friendly, you know, now, but it was very toxic, a little dramatic, you know, for the years. And so we like met up a few years after the really terrible breakup, and we both kind of like apologized to each other, being like, hey, we both did some stuff. And like, it was just like a nice way to just be like, hey, it's like, everything's chill. Like, we're good now. In that, there was also another time with a different person where, like, because I was in a really weird place, I was acting like kind of like crazy and clingy with this other person, relationship-wise, and I apologized to him as well.
Our relationships can really bring out the kind of crazy, stupid side of us.
Absolutely.
In so many ways.
Yeah, and I think that's where I've had to own up a lot, just because you're exactly right. Like, love and lust and everything, it changes us. And so I've fully made mistakes there that I would like to think I've owned up to.
Yeah, because like being with another person really puts the mirror. And I mean, we don't often see it till, as you said, like maybe years later, you realized, oh, I really messed that up. But it really shines a light on us.
Same question.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just turned the question on me.
Yeah, you answer it and then you can get back to me.
See, now, of course, I'm thinking about relationships, but I'm trying to open it up to
that was a just bunch my first thing that right. came to mind.
Right, right. But I'm trying to think of other things.
Asking me on this podcast,
right? You know, I actually the next thing after I kind of pushed through, you know, relationship stuff. The one of the first things as a child, I remember. So basically, back when Kmart was actually like something, before mm-hmm. there was Target, there was Kmart. And so I remember my mom and I, we would shop. So this is like 7 or 8 years old. So I remember that I wanted this particular Hot Wheels car, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kept at it, and she's like, no, you know, we're not going to do anything. So she went shopping and I was just going to meander around the toys or whatever. But I wanted that car. I wanted that car.
Did you steal it?
I picked that car and I'm in the aisle and I just opened it out of the package and I put it in my pocket.
Did you get in trouble?
I guess a manager or some store manager like basically stopped me and took me to my mother and he's just standing there, but he made me say it. He was like,
Aww. She
was like, what did you do? I was like, I wanted the car. So I, yeah.
Had he not stopped you, would you have just walked out with it?
Mm-hmm. I really think I would have just...
Then you wouldn't be answering this question.
Right, then I wouldn't be answering the question. And it like really did... I mean, that it's impressionable.
Taught you a lesson.
At 7 years old, yeah. I still remember that lesson. So yeah. That was traumatic at the time, but it was certainly a lesson learned.
The one thing I've ever stolen was one condom.
You know, if you're going to steal something, that's at least something good to have.
I was nervous. I was like 17.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to actually like buy it.
Yeah, I was nervous.
Yeah. But at least you're stealing something for a good reason.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here we are at the last one.
Okay.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I've ever received. Personally, okay, so like in acting school, we do all these acting techniques and these exercises and this script analysis and all this stuff. And for me... it's helpful, but like in the moment, I never know like what to do with it. Like, and so one time I fully said this to my acting teacher, whose name is Doug Hall. He's great. And I was like, I've done all this work for it. And like, I get it, but I'm not trying to, I don't know how to like let this live in the scene, all this work I've done. He goes, you've done the work, now let it go. You know what I mean? Like, it's just inherently there, which I really liked. I also really liked, so that was like a personal piece of advice that I live by, especially when my brain is getting cluttered with like script analysis and like, oh, what does this character mean here? And how do I live truthfully? I have to think about this and, you know, my grandmother dying and this time that I had a coffee, you know, like all this like sense memory and everything. So that helps there. And I really got a very recent piece of advice that was not told directly to me, but was told to the masses. And a lot of people have been talking about it these days.
Okay.
Andre DeShields' Tony Award speech.
Right.
Slow is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. Loved that.
Pretty much he could just write a Bible with those three things that he gave. And that's all people need to know. Live your life like that.
Yeah.
And we'll all be better people.
Well, especially in this day and age where it's getting harder and harder to lay roots for yourself as an artist because there's so much content. There's so many people trying to do this. Everyone's creating their own work. Like, mm-hmm. it's so hard to actually make an impression these days. In theory, yes, there's more work, but because there's so much, things aren't sticking, you know? And so you feel like you have this timeline in your head, but sometimes you just have to let things be. And I think I really needed to hear that.
Yeah. I did a whole episode just about those three things that he gave.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah. It meant a lot to me. Like stuck, like arrow through the heart, like listen to this and take it in.
You're not the first person that's told me that. A lot of people really connected to that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.